Paddy's pulling out all the stops for Royal Ascot. That's right, it's money back as a free bet on all losers if the starting prize favourite wins on one race each day of the festival. Check out the app for today's race. Max free bet £10. Exclude shop bets. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Hello and welcome to this Royal Ascot Day 1 postcast. Not long to go now. I'm Maddie Pleil and I'm joined in the studio by Nick Watts. We've got Paul Keighley here as well, and Neil Ryan is making his debut for Paddy Power, so it's sure to be an excellent show. We're going to go through a rundown of each of the races on Day 1, starting off with the 2:30 Queen Anne Stakes, the Group 1, of course. Neil, how do they bet on this? Is there plenty of confidence behind Rhododendron still?
It's actually a pretty tight race. It's almost like a handicap betting. We're actually four places, 150 odds. The fav is Rhododendron at 11-4. We have Ben Battle at 4-1. Resolitos, the French rider, at 5-1. Lightning Spear at 8-1. And Dovel and Yoshida, 14-1, 16-1 bar after that.
Right, now, Keels, I was just speaking to Bruce, and he says that you've persuaded him to back one at a massive price. Tell us more.
Yeah, accidental agent. Now, you know, on the phone, but we all know he's got to come on an absolute ton. But I keep looking at this race, and I keep thinking they were just, you know what I mean, there's no superstar in it. And it's in the old days when the old sprinters used to be fairly an average bunch, and you'd get something come up through the handicap ranks. And I think if it's ever going to happen in a mile Group 1, it'll happen here, because I just don't think there's any superstars there. Rhododendron beat Lightning Spear last time, but Lightning Spear probably should have won the race and would have done if he hadn't drifted right. And, you know, but he's still 0-14 in Group 1s now, so it's hardly standout form. So I thought, yeah, it's crying at me, you know, just screaming at me to have an each-way bet on something at a massive price. And an accidental agent, he flew home to be 6 in the Lockinge. I know he was beaten a fair way, but he was way out of his ground. I just don't think he got the best ride in the world that day. And, you know, he's got that Ascot form that you really like. He beat Lord Glitters off levels in a handicap there over 7 furlongs in October. Then he was 4-2 Lord Glitters, giving him £5. We're not getting the best of runs there in the Balmoral last year. It's just one of those. I think it's worth having an each-way bet on something at a decent price. And he's the one I like, because I think he's improving.
Okay, Neil, what price can we get on him?
An accidental agent is 25-1 with us.
There you go, 25-1. What's he, anything at a similar price, or are you going to go for one of the shorties?
No, nothing. So I've been all around the houses with this race, because I agreed with Paul that, you know, it's open and you could have a go at something at a big price. But every one I come to, I kind of find something. Oh, I'm not quite sure about him or her, you know, don't quite like it. And I've kind of come back around to Rhododendron again. And,
oh, no, you've not.
Look, she's a Group 1 winner at 2, 3 and 4, you know. It's... you know, it might be a perception problem with her, because she ran in the Oaks last season over a mile and a half, because she won a Group 1 over a mile and two last season as well. Maybe we're struggling with the concept of her now being a Group 1 miler. But, you know, she's also had a few issues. She's pulled up last season and, you know, Aidan O'Brien's done a great job to get her back. Maybe she just has got enough in the tank to win, as Paul rightly described, you know, possibly not the, you know, most fantastic Group 1 you've ever seen in your life. I don't know, I totally agree with him about looking for an each-way suggestion. I haven't been able to come up with one, so I'm going to stick with the tried and trusted and Rhododendron.
Yeah, do you think that sort of Aidan O'Brien, this division has been quite an open division for a few years now. We saw Tepping come over and win it and horses like that. Do you think Aidan O'Brien sort of thought, well, which horse can I field into the gap, if you like?
Well, I was quite surprised. I was very keen to take her on in the Lockinge last time out. I actually preferred a stablemate, Lancaster Bomber, that day, but he could only manage third. But, yeah, I mean, like I said, for me, it's just a perception thing. The fact that she's running over much longer trips, you know, a mile and a half last season, then a mile and two, so we kind of get it into our mind that, you know, that's what she wants. And maybe it's not. Maybe, you know, fast run miles are ideal for her. And, you know, she won last time out. She's, like I said, Group 1 winner every age from 2 onwards. Maybe we're just guilty of, you know, looking around for something when she is the one in possession.
Okay, so it could be a nice straightforward race according to Nick. Neil, what's your sort of handle on the race? What do you reckon?
Yeah, I was kind of trying to do the same thing. I really don't like backing favourites. I sort of was looking around. You look at Ben Battle, all the good form, strong forms coming Maidan. Yeah, he may well have improved a hell of a lot last year, but he's never won more than a Group 3 in Britain. Rosalitos is kind of run on softer ground and he's going to encounter here. He is American bred, so he might actually improve for it, but I'm not going to take it at that price. Lightning Spear ran a great race in the Lochinge. But I just keep coming back to Rhododendron. If you actually look back at that Lochinge race, she's kind of left out on her own in the middle of the track. She had to go around Duval. She was kind of drifting around the middle of the track while Lightning Spear had the rail to run up against. I actually think she might have been badly campaigned as well over anything over 1 mile 1. I don't think she wants an example of the Oak. She didn't stay, although she was beaten by a Superstar and Enable. So, I mean, she's a 3-time Group 1 winner, and Aidan's a genius having his fillies progress throughout the season. I certainly don't think she's got to the bottom of her. We were talking actually off-air, Maddie, as well, on an outsider, and the one, if I was going to throw an each-way bet with our four places, would be Yoshida. Mm-hmm. So the American Raider beat Beach Patrol, who's one of the top Group 1 milers from America, that beat him on Kentucky Derby night. He's only had 7 starts so far, so should be improving, and William Mott's not going to bring him over for no reason.
Mm. You mentioned Recoletos. I quite like him, and Century Dream at a bit of a bigger price. Kiehl's towards the top of the market. You mentioned Accidental Agent, but which do you think has got the best chance towards the top of the market?
I think probably at the top of the market, I think it's definitely Ben Battle and Rhododendron, probably just about in that order. If Ben Battle repeats his Dubai form, he's the one, you know, he's arguably got the best form. He's got an official rating of 123, which puts him, you know, well clear on the figures. He's just got to do it back at a bare mile, but he doesn't look short of pace. So yeah, I'd see that. I mean, I just wanted to have a crack at an outsider, and it was Accidental Agent for me. But you know, I'd respect Ben Battle the most. I don't like the French horse at the price at all, Recoletos. All his form is on soft ground, and a lot of it over further than the mile as well. So you know, it might be a stiff mile here, but on fast ground, it's going to be totally different for him.
Okie dokie. Moving on now to the 305 at Coventry Stakes Group 2. Now, lots has been said about Scat Daddy in the run-up to Royal Ascot. He's got such an exceptional record here with his progeny. Much missed sight, of course. So the starting point obviously looks like it will be with Sergei Prokofiev. Hopefully I pronounced that right. Neil, has he been pretty strong in the betting since the intentions were made clear to run here instead of elsewhere?
Yeah, he's kind of been the standout favourite all along. When Calix entered into predictions, it's close in the betting. But at the moment it stands, Sergei Prokofiev, as you pronounce so well, is 9-4 or 5. Calix is 5-2. We have Cosmic Law and Irish Rover at 10-1. Advertise, Burge and Dubai Legacy and Indigo Bands 14-1. And then 20-1 bar.
Okay,
and we're playing four places, 150 odds on that as well.
Excellent. Watsy?
Well, it's a fantastic race, isn't it? Sergei's looked pretty good in his 2 starts so far. The Gosden thing, Calix, looked very good at Newmarket. He had Legends of War in kind of high up in the betting as well for this, but what's happened to that, I don't know.
Not sure he's going to run. Yeah,
that's what I mean, he's going with Calix, who won very impressively. I don't know, it's a big field race, isn't it? And, you know, 5-2 in 19-20 runner fields, it doesn't really appeal to me. I'd rather have a go at a couple of big prices in this. Indigo Balance was one that I was interested in. Won a Curra Maiden first time out for Jessica Harrington. Apparently he'd won a barrier trial at Dundalk before that, so he came into the race nice and prepared. He was very professional through it. There's been a couple of winners come out of the race since. The second has won since. I think the fifth horse as well. So he was one I was interested in about the 14-1 mark. And one massive price. Richard Farley runs 3 in this. He's got Cosmic Law, he's got Vange, and he's got the one I, you know, fancy each way. 93-20, I think it's called, which is named after when Sergio Aguero, I think, scored his winning goal a few years ago for Man City. But Farley's got a really good bunch of juveniles this season. I've seen quite a few of them come out and win, and win impressively. These three have all got some sort of chance. Hannigan's riding 93-20, who won over 6 furlongs at Pontefract last time. Quite a decent race. Was very, very strong at the end of it. Probably in time he's going to want a bit further than this, but I can see him, you know, staying on very strongly towards the end of his 6 furlongs. And I think he's probably about 20-25-1, something like that. So there's 2 each-way pokes for you. I agree that Calix and Sergei Prokofiev look very good, but, you know, I think I'm going to have a go at one in this.
Yeah, full of optimism on day one. Neil, what price can we get about Richard Fahey's horse?
So Vange is 20-1 and the other Fahey horse, Cosmic Law, is 10-1.
What was it?
93-20 is 33-1.
Yep. There you go, 33-1 at poke for Watsy. Keels, are you again looking for something at a bit of a bigger price in this?
Yeah, I mean, I always tend to. You've got 24 runners. You don't want to be betting at 5-2, do you? I mean, that's just the way I look at things. I mean, Sergei Prokofiev is obviously got a serious injury on him, but, you know, he's had three goes to look as good as he did. And he won a small race by four lengths last time, and third was actually beaten further when third to one of Joseph O'Brien's, who probably runs in the Norfolk later in the week, called Dom Carlos. So I'm not convinced it's absolutely standout form for a horse to be that short.
And what do you think of Calix?
I think Calix did look a potential superstar, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if he is a superstar. But he also looks a little bit flighty to me, and I just wonder whether the prelims will get to him. You know what I mean? He might get a little bit overexcited, could come a bit early. You know, it's only... What is it? It's 10 days. It'll be 10 days since he made that debut. That's pretty close. Mm. I think most winners would you know, have at least a month to get over their first race and to come on for it. So he's got to do that turnaround fairly quickly, be down at the start with 23 other horses.
And so, he didn't look the most straightforward, did he? He got a bit of a high head carriage, hood in the paddock.
I mean, it's... You know, it could be greenness, but there you go. Hood in the paddock. That's there for a reason, isn't it? You know what I mean? So it would just worry me whether he balls over. I certainly wouldn't say he can't win, but I'd certainly be keeping an eye on his behaviour in the prelims and down at the start for sure. Now, I don't understand personally why Cosmic Law is such a big price by comparison to those two.
Totally agree.
He is... You know, he won that race really easily at Epsom. It might not be the best race in the world at Woodcote, but Burattino won it by six lengths three years ago. Exactly the same winning margin. It was his first time at six furlongs. He really, really powered away. And don't worry about it being soft ground, because he handled good to firm perfectly fine when scoring over five furlongs. He just wants that extra trip. He's by No Nay Never, who's by, you know, a Scat Daddy, who himself was by Scat Daddy. He's one of the kings of the Ascot sires, isn't he, Scat Daddy? So... and obviously, No Nay Never won the Norfolk. So, I think he's got a massive chance.
I really like him as well. And he's quite a big horse for an early season juvenile, isn't he? So he could come forward again from Epsom.
Yeah, I suppose you remember No Nay Never was massive as well, wasn't he?
I'm with you.
So he probably takes after him. But yeah, I think he's got a big chance.
Yeah, I really, really like him. Neil, moving over to you.
Yeah, I kind of echo that. Only one horse shorter than 5-1 has won this in the last 5 years, and that's Caravaggio. So I'd like to take the two fives on. We touched on Calix also at Sergei. I mean, there's been murmurs from the O'Brien yard all season about this horse, but I just don't know what it's beaten. We touched on the No Nay Never. 19% strike rate this year, has had a fantastic first start of season. And you have Irish Rover and Cosmic Law both in there. Now, Irish Rover is obviously the second string for O'Brien. Was beaten at 1-7 in Ascot when he reared up in the stalls. I think he's a bit of a head case, but his last race at Newbury, despite getting kind of stuck in a pocket, he won really well ahead of Barbill. Cosmic Law, we touched on there, like, it was softer ground at Epsom, and also he may have just handled Epsom a lot better than the rest of the horses. Might have elongated the distance there, but he still looked very special. But I certainly want to put a tip in there for Indigo Balance at 14-1, which was mentioned there earlier. I think just Jesse is a master trainer, and that form in the Kerr worked out really well when the Crypt went on to win in the Kerr next time out. Actually, another stat on that as well is once race horses have a great record in the Coventry, they've won 5 out of the last 9 renewals, so it wouldn't put me off that he's only run the once.
Okay.
Under rules, yeah.
And Jessie Harrington, we all know she's a masterful dual-purpose trainer. She gets so close to winning at Royal Ascot with Alpha Centauri, who goes for the Coronation Stakes this time around. We'll start talking about a magnificent King Stands just after this.
Paddy's pulling out all the stops for Royal Ascot. That's right, it's money back as a free bet on all losers if the starting prize favourite wins on one race each day of the festival. Check out the app for today's race. Max free bet £10. Exclude shop bets. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to this Royal Ascot postcast. As promised, we're going to go on to the King Stand now, which is at 3:40, the Group 1, of course, that sees Lady Aurelia take on Batash. Now, how do they bet on this, Neil? Because there's been some uncertainty, hasn't there?
Yeah, there was kind of flip-flopping favourites at the start, or when it was priced up first, Batash was actually 5, but I think a lot of the experts expect that Lady Aurelia will be backed into favourite. So as it currently stands, Lady Aurelia is 15-8, Batash is 9-4, Blue Point is 8-1, along with Catchy. And Washington DC and Mabs Cross and Different League are 16-1, and it's 20-1 bar.
Now, Kiehl's, I'd be interested to get your thoughts on this because I think it's quite tough. Lady Aurelia, there's obviously doubts about her. She hasn't got that weight allowance anymore and she was beaten last time. Are you confident that she can win at Royal Ascot for a third year?
It's one of those, it's funny. I'm not 100% confident, but by the same token, it'd still be a bit of a surprise if one of the two didn't win, wouldn't it? You know what I mean? It's one of those. They have their minor negatives. I mean, you know, Lady Aurelia, when she came in last year, she'd won easily. On a prep race, and this year she's got beat, and like you said, she doesn't have that weight allowance, and you know she was so precocious. She was, you know, a big 2-year-old again, so precocious. She, you know, have the others caught up with her. Against that, she's won it. She's won at this meeting twice, and you know, over 5 furlongs, and the aggregate winning distance is 10 lengths. Like, you know what I mean? So if she brings her A game back to Ascot, then they're all, you know.
I mean,
all
if you would have given her that weight allowance last year, she would have won anyway.
Yeah, she'd still have won anyway. Yeah, that's the whole point, you know. And if she's good as that, she would take a hell of a lot of beating. I mean, you know, we know that she loves the track. You know, Battash is how's he going to behave? You know what I mean? Now, someone described him to me the other day as a hand grenade, but it just depends on when the pin comes out, and you don't want it coming out before they come out of the stalls. You know, he lost the plot at York, and I think, you know, although the courses are different setups, I think the occasion for both of them, loads of people there, and obviously they've got the tunnel at Ascot, is probably the stiffest test of a horse's temperament, isn't it? You know, so that would be a worry. But he looked absolutely superb in the Abbe, and if they both bring their A games. Look, I mean, he's rated 1-2-3, she's rated 1-2-2, and I think the next best in there is 1-1-5, 1-1-3. They've got a lot in hand. Yeah. So, you know, it's one of those, I wouldn't be a layer of both of them.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't surprise me if either of them blew out, but I wouldn't be a massive layer. I've had a couple of critics weigh on Mabs Cross because I think she'll appreciate the stiff 5 furlongs. And I think she might be up to beating the rest, but she still does need to improve to do so. And, you know, if you're only betting 3 places in a race of that size and there are 2 solid favourites, it's probably not the best each-way race in the world.
Mabs Cross for Kiehl's then, but a tentative one. Is there anything you fancy at a bigger price, or are you just going to sit back and enjoy them?
Well, hopefully sit back and enjoy them. But, I mean, if you are a Battash backer, you're going to know by the time he goes into the stalls whether you've done your money or not, because as Paul says, he is a powder keg and he is just waiting to go off sometimes. And, you know, his best performance last season obviously came in the Abbe when he was sensational. But I do wonder, things are much more relaxed and calmer in France than they generally would be at Royal Ascot with all the noise and hullabaloo. So probably suited him being over there. And he has got a lot to put up with in the prelims tomorrow. You know, like I said, there's a huge crowd in. It's going to be a hot day. There's a lot of colour. There's a lot of razzmatazz. And he's got to show he can deal with that. And, you know, also a slight negative would be the Charlie Hills trainer form at the moment. I think he's just had one winner in the last fortnight and he's run a lot of horses. That came at 20-1, so it was an unexpected winner of a, you know, it wasn't one of his stable stars either. So, slight negative on those grounds. If I had to pick between the two, I've kind of have been swayed towards Lady Aurelia because she's been there and done it the last twice. Mm. Yeah, I agree, it's possibly not as ideal a preparation this time around as she's had before, but, you know, obviously they know how to get her there, you know, fit and firing. So. And she, like Paul said, 10 length aggregate winning margin in 2 races at Royal Ascot. That's pretty special. You don't get that very often. So if I had to pick one out of the top two, it would be her. There's one
about the rest?
There's one at a massive price, which is on the book. It's got absolutely no chance at all. But I'm interested in these taking this chance. And it's Battle of Jericho, trained by Aidan O'Brien. He was in the Commonwealth Cup on Friday for a long time. They've decided to run him here. He's got a massive fast ground pedigree. He's by Warfront and is damned together. Was second in the Guineas a few years ago and won a grade one in America on firm ground, something like that. He brought him back in trip massively to run in the Corn Modest at Newmarket at the back end of last season. He got absolutely no run at all, otherwise I'm convinced he would have won that and won it quite comfortably as well. He won a nothing race on his comeback at Fairy House. You can't really glean much from that. But he's just a huge price, and I think, you know, he's going to love the ground. O'Brien obviously thought he was a sprinter last season, running him in that race, and he could surprise a few. And if he did happen to be a massive burn up front and they, you know, let something from the back come through and challenge, then hopefully for my sake it might be him. But Lady Aurelia's the sensible choice. Battle of Jericho's my kind of mad one.
I like the sound of that, very much so. What price can we get on Battle of Jericho, Neil?
So you're looking at 50-1 there.
There we go. Wow. And what are your thoughts? Are you in the Lady Aurelia camp?
I absolutely love Lady Aurelia, but we're doing a money back special for one race each day of Ascot, and the offer tomorrow will be money back on all losers if either Lady Aurelia or Battash win. So obviously there's a chance there for the punters to take the two favourites on with something with an outsider. So I was kind of to and fro about who to choose on that, and I just ended up landing on Blue Point. Obviously next best rated at 115, has run his best races at Ascot. I can forgive his last run at Chantilly. It was a nothing race and was just pipped by Ertij Alameydan, who's basically unbeatable. But I'm a huge Lady Aurelia fan. It's probably my favourite flat horse in training. And when you look back at her run 2 years ago, I don't think I've ever seen anything like that since Frankel in the Guineas.
Yeah, she was startling. Blue Point, interesting, he drops back to 5 furlongs. You don't forget he beat Harry Angel in the Pavilion Stakes a couple of years ago. So clearly a very talented horse. Now moving on to the 4:20 St James's Palace Stakes. Now, Kiels, you had your Q&A yesterday on the site. And you said Without Parole was the worst favourite anywhere this week. Am I correct?
I did, yeah. I just don't get it. You know, it's one of those. I thought when he won at Yarmouth second time out, I thought, you know, this is potentially a really, really good horse. But I thought he struggled in that race at Sandown last time. It was only a listed contest. The handicapper put him up to a mark of 109. Now, the average winning rating for this race over the last 10 years is 122. Mm. Even allowing for the fact that this is a weak renewal, there's no horse rated as high as 120 anyway. It's just, you know, it just should not be the price he is on form. We're building in so much, and it's a little bit about snobbery, to be honest, on behalf of the bookmaker, because there's two horses who should be at the head of the market, are trained by Roger Teal and Ken Condon. That's Tip to Win, who was obviously second in the Guineas, a Saxon Warrior, and Romanize, who won by more than 2 lengths in the Irish Guineas. Now, you know, wide margin wins, you know, that's a wide margin win for a mile racer on fast ground, a group one. I think only 8 3-year-olds have done that in the last 12 years or so, and you're talking the likes of Kingman, Frankel, Rip Van Winkle, that sort of thing. George Washington was another one. You know what I mean? Very good horses. Now, Romanize isn't up with them then, but he did enough pull clear. And he really relishes fast ground and a stiff track. And I thought one of those two, Tip to Win and Romanize, should be favoured. I went down on Romanize because he was a bigger price when I tipped him originally. They're roughly the same now. I'd still just favour Romanized. But yeah, I think, you know, Without Parole, he's got to come on an absolute ton. And I think he's a silly price.
Okay. I'm quite interested in the French horse, Wooten. What do you make of him?
I would be interested. I mean, the trainer said after he was fourth in the French Guineas that he was actually the better horse than Olmedo, and they expect him to be, you know, to improve and prove that as well. He did a lot wrong that day, didn't he? Mm. But the worry is fast ground. You know what I mean?
Wouldn't Bassett love fast ground?
Yeah, but it's, you know, the they know that he likes really soft ground. I mean, so there is a worry about it. I mean, I did a preview night at the London Racing Club with Dan, and Adrian Bowman was on there, from the International Racing Bureau, and he said the connections are definitely concerned about the ground.
Okay, fair enough. I'll take that. Watsy, what do you make of this Without Parole?
I completely agree, Paul. So what will happen is he'll probably go and win now, won't he? That's the way it goes. So there is no legitimate reason for him to be favourite, I don't think. Struggled home in a listed race last time. He's taking on, you know, proven classic form with Tip to Win, second in the Newmarket Guineas, and Romanized, who was actually, I'm making my bet of the day, actually. I think he's got a fantastic chance. Ran a really good race in the Coventry last season. I think he finished about fifth or sixth. Was unlucky not to finish a bit closer. The Solaro form, obviously, behind Massar, looks, you know, top-notch now. Absolutely no fluke about his win in Ireland last time out, despite his price. You don't win races by 2 lengths just on the fluke. And US Navy Flag is a really solid horse to go and beat. You know, he did it all as a 2-year-old. He was bouncing back to form there. There was no reason to suggest he didn't run his race. And Romanized has come and won comfortably. It's exactly as Paul said. The reason he's the price is because he's got Kay Condon next to his name, and he's not by Frankel. And Without Parole has got Jay Gosden next to his name and is by Frankel. So that explains the discrepancy in the price. He ran well at Ascot last year. He's a better horse now. He'll love the ground. I see absolutely no reason why he won't go very close, and I just prefer him over Tip to Win.
Okay, so plenty of confidence behind Romanized and no love for Without Parole. Neil, are you with the lads in being against this Without Parole?
Yeah, I think it's the delay of the festival, to be honest. I think it's just a crazy favourite. I was talking to Frank Hickey before I came on, and he put me onto a stat that no horse has ever gone on to win the St James's Palace who hadn't previously run in a Group 1. And that just reels him straight off the bat there. Yeah, like I think Roman Eyes, Tip to Win, US Navy Flag, they're all really solid horses. I'm slightly concerned with the Irish Guineas. Did US Navy Flag go a little too, did they go a little hard out front and it maybe fell into Roman Eyes' lap? But it's hard to know really. So again, I'm looking at Wooten as well. I just think he could be anything. You look at some of the previous winners of this race, you have Henry the Navigator, Camp Cliffs, Frankel, Kingman, some absolute heroes of the game, and that's probably the only horse in there apart from Without Parole that might be that. In the French Guineas, you just, Ryan Moore got to the front on US Navy Flag and just pulled an anchor, and he was so keen around the side.
It was a really messy run from him there, wasn't he? Yeah. I think you can just ignore that. He did well to be fourth.
It was kind of weird when he got up to the leaders. Then he slightly got outpaced when he kicked, but then he stayed back on again. It just showed huge ability to finish fourth, how hard he pulled. So, yeah, look, if he handles the ground, that is a slight concern. I think it could be anything.
Okay, two votes for Wooten and two votes for Roman Eyes. Then, just after this, we'll move on to the Ascot Stakes, where Willie Mullins has a very strong hand.
Paddy's pulling out all the stops for Royal Ascot. That's right, it's money back as a free bet on all losers if the starting prize favourite wins on one race each day of the festival. Check out the app for today's race. Max free bet £10. Exclude shop bets. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Okay, welcome back to this final segment of Royal Ascot Day 1 postcast. We're going to talk about the Ascot Stakes now. Willie Mullins, he's got a few in this. I know, Watsy, you were quite keen on one of these earlier on in a few postcasts, but he's won this race with Simenon in 2012, Clondor Warrior 2015, and, of course, Thomas Hobson last year. Neil, so how do they bet this time around? He's got quite a few engaged at the minute, hasn't he, Willie?
He does. So we're actually five places, 150 odds on the Ascot Stakes. So top of the market is Willie Mullins' Stratum at 9-2. Chelker at 6-1, who's been supported in from 14s. Coeur de Lion is next up at 13-2. Danny Day at 9-1. And we have Whiskey Sarah, Legas to Vegas, and Mary DeVee at 10-1. And it's 14-1 bar.
Okay, I'll go to you first then. What's he? Legas to Vegas, that was your fancy, wasn't it?
Well, that was the one before I knew the entry. So she was the horse that I thought from the Mullins lot. I didn't know about these other ones that he might sling in there because, you know, she's come over to Britain a few times over hurdles and on the flat as well. And she ran a really good race in the Cesarewitch last season, the third to withhold, who was obviously the handicap snip. That was under Ryan Moore, actually, who rides another one of Mullins's. But that was obviously a good run. She ran a cracker in the county hurdle at Cheltenham as well. I think she finished fifth, not being very far at all. And her last run on the flat last season was in a listed race at Nace, over a mile and a half, when she finished second to Tocco de Mori of Dermot Weld. So she's got a bit of pace as well. She's well drawn. Andrea saying, I'm not sure you can read too much into the jockey bookings of the Mullins lot because he's kind of, you know...
It's, do you think because he's got a lot, that suggests he's not got one major fancy?
Well, it reads like a who's who, doesn't it? He's got Ryan Moore riding for him, he's got Atsane, he's got Barcelona, he's got Sumilon. It's incredible, he's, you know, the book of jockeys he's got. The one annoying result for me, this Chelkar, I mean, you know, he hasn't run for like 600 odd days since he ran in France, and he's running there over a mile and two. No one outside the Mullins camp at all will know anything about this horse at all, and so he's virtually impossible to support unless you're just going on the bandwagon that is Ryan Moore and Willie Mullins. I haven't got a clue what to expect from him. I've never seen him race. I don't know if he'll be suited by the trip. You'd assume he will, otherwise Mullins wouldn't be running him over 2.5 miles. But that would be a disappointing result if something like that came along, because I just couldn't get interested in something like that when I know so little about the horse. So for me, Legas to Vegas has it in her to run a really big race, and I think she's about the 9-10-1 mark. So, yeah, I agree. Well, obviously, it's written in stone, isn't it, that Mullins has a great record in this race, and he's obviously seems very intent on winning it again. You know, so Legas to Vegas, it was my pick, you know, two or three weeks ago, and she's in, she's made the cut, she's got a good draw, you know, she first time aids as well this time, so maybe that'll make a slight difference too, but I think she's got it in her to run a big race.
Okay, you're sticking to your guns then. Keels, can Willie Mullins win it again?
Well, yeah, I mean, he obviously can. I mean, he's won three of the last six. And Chelkar was the outside of his five until Ryan Moore was booked. Now, Ryan Moore has ridden the three winners that Willie Mullins has trained, so obviously people are going to jump on that bandwagon, and bookies are going to jump on the bandwagon and cut it anyway. Interesting to point out, though, that the favourite Stratum is ridden by Robert Winston, who's ridden more horses for Tony Bloom than anybody else. So, I mean, I'd imagine he was booked long in advance anyway. So that's probably why he's holding up in the market. You can give all of them good chances. I mean, they're all going to be trying for their lives, obviously. But I just think the one that stands out for me is Sir Michael Stout's horse, Danny Day. Now, he was actually anti-post favourite for the Northumberland Plate 2 years ago. Didn't get in, but you know, and had to make do with winning the consolation race, and he got himself in all sorts of trouble in the straight that day.
Yeah.
And he came out and he got up to win, and if he'd got another 100 yards, he'd have probably won 5 lengths. Now, he only went up £5 for that. He looked like he'd stay for absolutely ever, but then he was on the missing list for 2 years until returning to Goodwood last month, when he was fourth to Platitude in a handicap there over 1.6 miles. Now, that would have been as short as he probably wants to go. He's a definite stayer. Pat Dobbs rode him that day. Now, I find that quite interesting because he rides again. Now, Sir Michael Stout will have known that Ryan Moore would be riding something for Willie Mullins. So it looked, you know, that just has a little look of a long-term plan for me. Book Pat Dobbs, rides a horse for the first time, keep with him. And I'd imagine he's absolutely keyed up for this race. You know, powerful owners have stuck with a horse who's been gelded and had 2 years off. But 2 years ago, he looked like he had the potential to be a lot better than a mark of 95.
Okay, so Danny Day for Keels then. Any final thoughts, Neil?
Yeah, it's the Mullins yard for me. Yeah, as we mentioned, three out of 6 years, Mullins has won this race. I just think the top two are too short. Tony Bloom's money does talk, as we saw with Withhold and the Cesaro Wish, but Stratton's never been over a mile and a quarter in the flat. Chelcar has been off the track 600 days, just puts me off, even though Mullins is a genius to bring them back off a long layoff. Mary DeVee's only won on soft ground, so that let me land on Whiskey Sarah and Lagos de Vegas. Two out of those three Mullins winners were actually the top weight in this race, which is Thomas Hobson and Simenon. So that's a good stat there for Whiskey Sarah. He's won over 2 miles before on good ground, and the genius Smoolion is on board, and he'll probably be held up for a late surge. And Lagos de Vegas, travels so well into his races. I think the hood will actually help him even more. At Senzi, as a jockey, will suit him with the soft, quiet hands and handles the ground. And again, ran a great race in third in the Cesaro Wish, giving Withhold £4.
Okay, so Willie Mullins could well hold the key to the Ascot Stakes again, but Keels is going with Sir Michael Stout's charge. And moving on to the 5:35 Wolverton Stakes, it's a listed contest which ends the coverage. Now, Larabe, I think I'm right in pronouncing that. Someone will no doubt correct me. Second to Poet's Word in the Brigadier Gerard last time. Really progressive horse. Looks to head the market here. Neil, am I right in thinking that?
Yeah, so we're 4 places, 150 odds. Actually, we're pointing out this used to be a handicap. It's now a listed race, as you said. So Larabe is 5-1/5. Mirage Dancer at 11-2. Sharjah Bridge is 13-2. Yucatan at 10s. Kid Maneuver at 11-1 and 12-1 bar.
Okay, Neilan, I'll go to you first this time. What do you make of this contest? Quite trappy, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's a tough one. Again, it's probably one to take advantage of 4 places with just a little leashway bet. I kept coming back to Mirage Dancer. I know Stout hasn't really been flying the last 2 years, but his strike rate's improved to 19% the last 14 days. He's a master at bringing gradual improvement in middle distance 4-year-olds and 5-year-olds. And first time out this season, he finished in front of Saluan, who obviously went down on to put it up to Cracksman. Now, not taking that form completely literally, but it's still quite an impressive feat. And he won last time out against the reopposing Eugenio with plenty in hand. And I just kind of expect further improvement. So he'd probably do for me, just as a smaller outsider, would be Monarch's Glen. It's top rated in the field. He's come back off an 88-day break where he was thrown in the deep end in Maidan. But those two will do for me, but no real strong fancy here.
Talented horse and Monarch's Glen. Keels, how strong are you on this Larabe? Do you think it's a good favourite?
I'm the complete opposite of strong on Larabe, funnily enough.
Doesn't
surprise
me.
I can't understand why he's favourite, and I don't think he will be favourite at the end. I mean, look, he was second in the Brigadier Gerard last month, but I mean, if you could not have had a more muddling race than that, and And if you take that literally, which the handicapper has done, because I think he put him up £11 for it to 113. Mm. There was a four-year-old in the first race of the day, ran over the same trip, carrying £4 more, rated 74, ran a faster time. And it just says to me that, hang on, this form is really, really muddling. I wouldn't trust it in a million years. He's drawn 15, not necessarily a massive negative around there. People make too much of the fact of a high draw around there. It can sometimes be an advantage, but I can't see why he should be favourite. I mean, like Neil, I would say the one I would make favourite is Mirage Dancer. I thought he was quite impressive at Goodwood last time, but then I'm gonna take a chance on another improving handicapper. This is the first time this race isn't a handicap, by the way. So it's up to listed status now. Big Country. He's got to be one of the most progressive horses in the country, isn't he? When he started last season off a mark of 75, finished it off 100. Has run three times this season. He's up to 107. He won the Zetland Gold Cup last time at Redcar, and he had them all beat a long way out. Had them all in trouble, and then still found more to fend off the final challenger. That was off a mark of 103. He's 107 now, which is okay. That's £8 lower than the top rated Monarch's Glen. But we've got to remember, there's a few of these with penalties, and Monarch's Glen has got a £5 penalty. So you know, this is very, very tight. It's as hard as any of the handicaps at the meeting. But Big Country's drawn in stall two. All the other horses drawn six or lower, perfectly happy to take a lead. So I don't think Luke Morris is going to have to work very hard to get in the right position. Mm. And you just see this horse put his head down and battle.
He reminds me of a jumper. He's quite a big, striding sort of horse.
He's a big horse. He pricks his ears. And he just does what you ask. You know what I mean? He must be a dream to ride, because he just seems to give everything. Mm. He loves fast ground and this trip. And he's just improving. And he's, you know, what is he with you, Neil?
We're looking 16-1.
Well, I can't, four places, I could not resist that.
Okay, Kiehl's can't resist a Big Country. What do you reckon? It is a really muddling race, isn't it, to sort of pick to bits?
Yeah, no, it's not an easy race to end on at all, is it? Again, you know, going back to the each way kind of angle, Fabricate was quite interesting for me. Won the Windsor Hill at Windsor last season, and you know, by and large this season, he's run very well. He didn't in Sandown last time out in the Poets Word race, but we already said that, you know, that possibly not one to trust, not a race to trust, or, you know, it was a muddling kind of affair. Two runs prior to that, it won on the all weather, and then second, it ran a really good race at Sandown on Crystal Ocean. Nothing wrong with that form at all. It would love the ground. And it's run well at Royal Ascot before, you know, a couple of years ago. I think that was over a mile and a half, maybe in the Duke of Edinburgh, I think, if memory serves, and you know, better at 10 furlongs. And if you just scrub that last run, which I think you can, then I'd give it an each way squeak. But yeah, I'm not mental about Leray, but 5-1, I'd be rather going in at double figures on this than each way.
Okay, so plenty of value to be found in that race. Then perhaps we'll move on to get your day one nap now.
This will not be beaten.
This is the old jingle. He's updated his song since then.
Wasn't it about 20 seconds long?
It was in the US Open last week. It was absolutely mental. I've never heard anything like it, but it was something to listen to.
I think we need to update that, don't we? We'll be waiting for about 30 seconds before we get to the tips. Anyway, get to the tips, we will. Watsy, I'll go to you first. I think we know who this is going to be.
Yeah, it's going to be Romanised. I'm going with him for Ken Condon.
Okay, Neil?
Really boring, Lady Aurelia.
Really boring indeed. Kiehl's?
Yeah, I've got a little bee in my bonnet for Danny Day at the moment, so that'll be in the 5 o'clock.
Danny Day, there we go. Now, Kiehl's and Watsy, you won't be with us for the rest of the week, so I want your best bets elsewhere during the meeting. Now, Kiehl's, I'll go to you first.
Yeah, I like Redkirk Warrior in the Diamond Jubilee. I can't, you know, he's third favourite. He beat the second favourite, Merchant Navy, giving him £12 in Australia. So I think that's got to go very, very close for the Aussies. In the Britannia, crack on. I think he'll take the world of beating. He just needs to be on the right side of the track, of course. But I mean, he won the Silver Bowl. I thought he won it with plenty in hand, and you know, I think that was the first time there'd been such a big field in that race since 2011, and the winner of that was Sagrabor, who came on and won the Britannia. Mm-hmm. So they would be my main two, I'd say, for now.
Okay, for now, Watsy.
I think Alpha Centauri are quite light in the Coronation Stakes. You know, the only kind of negative runs for her come on softish ground. So conditions are going to be in her favour this week. Really good run at the meeting last year. Mm. And I love the Gold Cup. I think it's going to be a fantastic race this season. I've always been a big Order of St George fan. I'm not going to desert him now. And I just wonder, there seems to be a lot of love for Stradivarius at the moment, particularly reading the pullout today in the Racing Post. I just wonder if, you know, if there's a bit of a bandwagon for Stradivarius come Thursday. Order of St George might go off, you know, half a point bigger than maybe he should do. He probably ought to be coming into the race on a hat-trick. Ryan Moore gave him a hell of a lot to do last season, and he all but did it. And he's the one they've all got to aim at for me, and I'm going to take him to regain the crown.
OK, Aidan O'Brien, a reliable force, especially in the Ascot Gold Cup. We'll be back tomorrow and every day this week with the Royal Ascot Postcast, so make sure you join us then. If you enjoy these shows, make sure you rate, review and subscribe on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes or any other platform you're listening to us on. God knows what that might be. We'll see you tomorrow. It's been a pleasure. Goodbye.
Paddy's pulling out all the stops for Royal Ascot. That's right, it's money back as a free bet on all losers if the starting prize favourite wins on one race each day of the festival. Check out the app for today's race. Max free bet £10. Exclude shop bets. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. Begambleaware.org.